Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. Every time we get together, our goal is to dig into family life a little bit more, dig into God's word, look for biblical principles that apply to the family, tackle some challenging issues, and give parents some strategies in particular about working with their kids. I'm just convinced that a heart-based approach changes everything. And that's the title of this book that I've written. And we're looking at each chapter to try to produce some ideas for the podcast that are helpful for parents. So this time we're going to jump into the area of electronics, and we'll just take 15, 20 minutes and talk about this. But I'll just tell you, this chapter of the book has so many good things in helping parents to be able to understand how to work with electronics. And we'll touch a few of these ideas, but you may want to pick up this book. And it's my privilege to work with Elena, and Elena's in the Netherlands, where I'm sure they also have challenges with children with electronics. I'm seeing it all over the world. Believe me, it's a challenge. But Elena, thanks for being with me. Let's see what we can do as we talk about this particular subject today.
Hi, Dr. Scott, and hi, everyone listening. Yes, it's a challenge everywhere. You are absolutely right. Everywhere you travel, I'm sure also in your travels abroad, you and perhaps in Asia and in other regions, you have seen how people and especially young people have access to electronics. So I think it cannot be a hotter topic at the moment. And that's why I'm extremely, extremely excited and really looking forward to have this conversation today. And let's get started. And actually, I would love to hear, Dr. Scott, from you, what sits actually at the bottom of this obsession with electronics for human beings in general, for children in particular?
Well, let's see. Electronics comes in various forms. We've got watching YouTube videos or being involved in social media or just like to watch TV, or it could be gaming, it could be shopping, it could be all kinds of things depending on the age of the child of what they like. But it becomes addictive for children many times. And the reason it does is because of pleasure and this desires. We all have desires that they're in the heart, according to God's word. But this drive for pleasure that we often have, or comfort, means that we're gravitate to things like electronics, because electronics feeds that part of our brain or our heart. Mm. We really want this, you know, and it does something to us and it makes us feel good. And so it's a problem. I think that when Jesus was talking about the four different kinds of soil, he was talking about one of them where the soil falls on the thorny ground and it starts to root and then thorns creep up. And the Bible talks about those thorns representing the pleasures of this world. The pleasures of this world. I mean, that's what crowds out some of the faith that our children have. I mean, it's just such an important area. We have to put limits on it, but knowing where to put those limits is often challenging because, different children have different needs, and some kids we don't allow them to do any screen time because it increases their emotional drama, whereas others, they can handle it more. So we want kids to know this. Pleasure cannot be your goal, because if pleasure is the goal, then it results in addiction. So we must be able to help children balance their lives. Entertainment isn't bad. Pleasure isn't bad, but it can't be the thing that becomes our primary driver in life. So we've got to be able to address it.
So let's just deal with that for just a second, because I remember reading a book, and I don't remember which book specifically, but I remember you giving this example about parents who are, for example, when children are going somewhere where they are about to go to school or to a friend, they say, have fun. Like just in, you know, as a way to say goodbye, for example. It's also very common in the Netherlands. And I read, and what I remember from what I read is that it's good in a certain way, but also in a different way, it gives this idea to children that their goal during that time is to have fun and just to, you know, have pleasure and have fun. So what would be, how can we actually, translate to children that having fun is not the purpose of our life?
Yeah, I mean, my wife and I realized we were saying to our kids have fun when they went out the door on Friday nights. When they got to be teenagers, we realized that wasn't a good idea. You know, so we started saying different things like take care of your brother or do the right thing. That's just Sensitive parenting, realizing that sometimes we communicate the subtle message to our kids that having fun is their mission. Young people, teenagers today often, I don't want to grow up. I'm having too much fun. It is the job of a child during adolescence, which goes from 12 to 25 years old nowadays, give or take a couple of years. It is their job to learn how to live in an adult world, develop responsibility, integrity, maturity. We can call it discipleship. That is their job. So we are continually communicating that idea to children so that they can grasp this bigger picture of life. It's not just about having fun. Otherwise, see, playing video games becomes their goal and anything else that gets in the way of that. So kids don't want to do their chores, or they give you a hard time about getting off of it or setting limits on those things. So we have to have a strategy. That's the idea. We have to have a strategy to deal with electronics in order to help parents know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I so fully agree with that. And I think that it's so easy, not only because these devices are, especially phones and games on the TV, they're so shiny and they're so much color, and it just appeals so much to children. Their games and they're all so much going on. I know from my family, my son, he has ADHD, and he's so attracted by all this movement, and it becomes so such a almost an obsession. And I think it also shows that it indicates that it's challenging for children without our help for them to say stop. And I think we as parents need to help them. And I'm wondering, Dr. Scott, what are some good boundaries, some good how can we have an understanding with our children and explain to them, hey, this is what we expect from you, and how can we reinforce that in their life so we can have some sort of rules?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that what you're saying is, how can we help children accept no or accept the limit?
Ultimately, yeah.
I think what we're saying to kids is, look, here's the deal. I want you to be able to have some entertainment on your screens or your video console to play the games or your DNR or whatever it is that we're gonna do. But you have to be able to get off when I tell you. If you're not mature enough to get off when you're supposed to, then you're not mature enough maybe to have video games or time to play on your device. And so that, I think, is where we start. But I think also we want to transfer responsibility to the child. It says, look, you've got a period of time. Maybe it's 30 minutes or 2 hours or whatever it is to play now on your device, but you need to get off yourself at the end. I don't want to have a battle with you. If you can't get off and you're not responsible, then maybe you're not ready to have it. Maybe we're not going to have video games or devices for the next day or so until, and then we'll try again. Well, you can show me that you can get off on your own. And another thing that sometimes with younger children, when I say younger, I'm talking about elementary age kids, because most preschoolers shouldn't be touching any screen time anyway. But
No.
let's go to elementary age kids. We can say to them, when I allow you 2 hours this afternoon to be on the video game, I'm going to stop every 30 minutes, and I'm not going to do anything. But if you report to me, let's say it's 12:30 now, and you're going to get on the and play on the computer for a bit, you need to come and report to me before 1 o'clock. Keep the clock right there, son, so you can be watching the clock. What we're teaching our children to do then is not just focus on pleasure, but also focus on responsibility, because they now have to look at the clock. Not me. I'm not the one going to look at the clock and tell them it's time to get off. They're looking at the clock. And if you come to me between 5 minutes to one and 1 o'clock and say, I'm just checking in, then I say, okay, good. You go back for another half hour. If you do not come and check in with me, that means that you lose the next half hour, but come to me at 25 after to the 30 minutes. And you tell me I'm checking in, and I say, okay, you can go back and spend some time on the console. So what we're doing is we're using electronics to build character. That's what I want to do. This is just one example of the many ways that we can bring to children the ability for them to respond better to life situations, but life skills in general, is to be able to handle these things on their own. So we're using this with kids to help them move forward in some good ways. So, being able to live within limits is a key character element that we're helping children learn when they're involved in electronics, and we're enforcing that in various ways. It might be that we park all the cell phones or at the in a basket before we come to the mealtime, because that's not just for kids, it's for parents too, so that we can enjoy the mealtime. It may mean that we're parking all the, we're charging everything, we turn off all the electronics at a certain time at night, you know, 9 o'clock or something. We're saying there's no more electronics. And we do that not because we're just creating a rule, because we value sleep. We value sleep as parents. Kids don't value that. They'll text in the middle of the night or to keep their game open all night because it plays continually. And if they're not on it then and watching it, then their armies are being decimated. And so I don't know if those games are even good for kids to play on, because they create a lot of anxiety. But the point is, we're using electronics to build character. And that's what I'm looking for. That's what my in my book, when I wrote about this, I'm looking for several ways that teach children, teach parents how to do this with their kids so that kids can develop the necessary qualities they need to manage pleasure in their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So important. I think it's actually the ultimate goal that we as Christian can have, to help use technology to build character. That would be just awesome. Dr. Scott, let's talk a bit about teenagers or young adults who have access, unlimited, or definitely much more access to phones and other electronics. They're more independent, perhaps we're not always around them when they're using screens. I know there's something that we need to start early in life, but what are some other advice or thoughts of yours on how to get to a point where we can trust them? You know, there's so much garbage on the internet and on the websites they're frequenting that sometimes I'm just wondering, how could we create in children this character, like you mentioned, to help them choose for themselves when we are not there, what they should be looking at and what they should not be looking at.
Yeah. So now you're moving to another character quality that I champion here when it comes to electronics, and it's integrity.
Mm.
Do you have the integrity to limit the electronics yourself? Do you have the integrity to limit where you go with electronics or what you do or who you talk to and so on? And many young people don't. So in order to build integrity, the key word is accountability. That's why we check your internet history, or we have a way, you know, we have a way to monitor what's going on your phone. So when we're working with teenagers, we can do that. I think it's a very important thing to guard them, because it doesn't take long for kids to become addicted to pornography, or to find themselves addicted to styles or shopping, or just get a worldly mentality of what's going on here.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is help them. Let me give you one idea that is very practical. Sometimes teenagers will say, especially older teenagers, will say something like this: "It's my phone. I paid for it. You don't have any control over that." Or even a child that's younger will say, in a family where parents are divorced, the child will come into your home and say, "Well, Dad provided me this phone. You can't have any say over it." And that is a fallacy. And I'm just telling you real quick how we can deal with that. I think we're going to teach children about society. Every society has rules that you live by and has privileges. And the family is the smallest form of society. If you're in government, you know, you're driving a car down the road and the policeman pulls you over and says, "Look, you're talking on your phone. I'm going to give you a ticket." You can't say to the officer, "It's my phone. You can't tell me what to do with it." No, you live in a society. If you're at school and the teacher says, "We're having a test now. All phones need to be put away." You can't say to the teacher, "This is my phone. I'm in control. You don't have any control over my phone." No, that's not true. Every society has rules and limits and privileges. And so when we come to this issue in the family, you are the architect. You're the engineer of your family's schedule and activities. And you certainly can set guidelines and limits, because you're the one controlling the culture of your home. And when you do that, it's very important. You don't just have random rules, but all your rules are based in convictions and values, and so you're setting up some guidelines. It's not easy. what we're talking about doing here. And there's a lot of tired parents when it comes to this area, but we need to realize that God's mercies are new every morning, and we need to embrace those and step in and do the work that is needed in order to help our children have the life skills necessary in order to be able to manage their electronics well.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, Dr. Scott. I actually find it so useful that, you know, we equip, and such a blessing that we can equip immediately parents with this kind of practical advice, because I am 100% sure, just like you mentioned, that so many of those listening are struggling with this kind of argument. And I think it's so, yeah, so absolutely true and practical to be able to make this kind of converse, to have this kind of conversation with a young adult or a teenager, and to explain to them that we, just because it's your phone or your laptop or game, it doesn't mean that you can choose to use it at your, you know, at how you prefer it. You need to obey certain rules. I find that really, yeah, very good for parents to know. So I'm glad you shared that. Thank you. So talking about, I just wanted to ask one more question before we go towards the end of this episode. How can we, from young, what are some of the principles that you advise to start using from a young age? And I know we spoke about a few, but if we maybe missed some, so we can get to a point later where children can have this accountability that you and integrity that you mentioned. I know we spoke about training them to be able to accept no, and we spoke about having the ability to check in and you know and take responsibility and for a moment when they need to stop and when they need to potentially check in with us at certain times. Are there any important sort of exercises that we can do to train our children for the time when they grow, so they can learn, so they can then be prepared for this kind of situations?
Yes, I think this chapter is full of practical ideas that parents will benefit from. It's full of scripture, too. I mean, Apostle Paul reminds us in Titus 2:12, it says that grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. I mean, that is a great verse to apply to electronics. But here's the key thing. Let me just share with you a key that I think is really important for parents. And that is, don't focus on necessarily limiting electronics. Focus on balance, because the key thing here is we want children to be able to have a balanced life. Mm-hmm. And that means that we're talking about physical exercise, social interactions that are face-to-face. We're talking about learning things. We're talking about spiritual growth. And sometimes what we're saying to kids is, this isn't about electronics. This is about having a balanced life. So you need to do some of these other things now for a bit. And we're not going to work on electronics right now until we see some more balance in these other areas. So what this does, it moves parents into a more positive way of working with this rather challenging subject, which tends to be rather negative and stress producing. Let's focus on something positive, which is the balanced life that God wants us to have. So anyway, I think that will help parents in a good way to be able to challenge their kids and bring some direction into this very important area.
I so fully agree with you. I think if I look at my children, we only watch, they are only allowed to watch TV maybe half an hour a day towards the end of the day when I'm cooking dinner. And but the moment they enter from the door, I think from coming back from school at 3 p.m., they're like, oh, can I watch TV? Can we now watch TV? It's this obsession. And I feel like, no, go outside, play together, or take a, you know, read a book, or let's. I think it's a very, very good way in to search for a balance, so it doesn't all revolve around screens and watching and stuff and such stuff like that. It's really very important. Yeah, I cannot emphasize it more. Dr. Scott, I want to just quickly remind parents that they can find the book and also the videos, the 13 videos, teachings that you have available on the biblicalparenting.org website. I know that at the moment there's also a deal available for parents if they want to purchase the book and the videos. And I am absolutely certain that there will be so many benefits and they will learn so many so many important principles and tips that they can apply immediately in the life of their children, with their children. Before we gonna close this episode, are there any other things you would like to mention?
Yeah, don't make quick decisions with young people, or you want to have meetings with them and talk about these things. I think that being able to know how to handle electronics is important. When you look at the videos as a leader's guide, and in this particular lesson on electronics, there's a guide for having a discussion with a teenager about electronics overuse. So it gives you a lot of different ideas in there. I don't want to empower you with guns blazing to go in and start hacking away at your child's internet use. Let's do this wisely, because it is a challenging area, and children do need to have access to electronics. Many of them are using it in school, for example. And so there's ways to do this. And so having a strategy is going to be your key word as you approach this area, in order to know where the good is, where the bad is, and how to draw the line between them. So that's going to help parents as they move forward today.
Thank you, Dr. Scott, for your advice. And I want to encourage parents to go back and listen to our other episodes. We have available more than 80 episodes right now, and share with other parents or with those who they might think might benefit from it. Also to rate our podcast so other people and other parents can find this easier on the platforms that you're listening on. And until next time, we pray that God will bless you. Bye.